for joining us on another edition of Hoosier Ag This Week. It's time to run down the top news from this past week in Indiana and U.S. agriculture. I'm farm broadcaster Eric Pfeiffer from Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network. We have a great show lined up for you today as we get planting updates from around the state, an update on the trade war with China, how the corn that's going in the ground right now might make its way into your ice cream. No, not as a topping. That might be a little weird, especially if it's not, you know, sweet corn. But as a sweetener. And with the greatest spectacle in racing next weekend, our CJ Miller chats with the lucky Indiana dairy farmer who gets to hand the ice-cold bottle of milk to the winner of this year's Indianapolis 500. Grain market analysis is coming up, but let's begin with the weather. Our planting weather forecast from Hoosier Ag Today, Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin, is presented by Beacon Credit Union.
Wishing all our farmers a safe and successful planting season. I'm Danielle Aldrich, your ag lender at Beacon Credit Union, committed to growing with you every step of the way.
Rain to end the week slowed planters down, but Martin expects a dry Saturday and Sunday across the Hoosier State.
And I'm going to put most of Monday in here as well. Good evaporation Saturday and Sunday. We probably stifle that evaporation a little bit on Monday as clouds increase ahead of our next weather system that is going to show up here. I'm starting to see some moisture try and push in already late Monday afternoon, Monday evening, but the most precipitation is coming Tuesday, Wednesday of next week.
And what can we expect from that precipitation?
All in, all done. 0.5 to 1.5 inch rainfall totals, coverage around 80 to 90% of the Hoosier State. The moisture may get strung out a little bit, and I even think we can see some lingering activity early Thursday morning. But otherwise, we're looking in pretty good shape. We do dry down for the balance of next week, Thursday, Friday, and the start of the holiday weekend, Saturday and Sunday.
For Memorial Day Monday, Martin does call for another round of moisture.
But it's just kind of unstable, heat-based instability, scattered shower action. And we see a lot of that last week of May going into early June. So some pop-up scattered activity, not a lot of heavy rain, but not a lot of full dry down as well.
Stick around. Martin has much more in his Indiana Farm Forecast coming up in just a little while here on Hoosier Ag This Week. The House Ag Committee has approved cutting as much as $300 billion in the SNAP program as part of the House Budget Reconciliation Bill. GOP leaders say they plan to use those funds to help pay for $60 billion in Farm Bill programs, that according to a report by Politico. Read more on this at HoosierAgToday.com. Earlier this week, President Trump announced a 90-day pause in the trade war with China that brings U.S. tariffs on Chinese imports down to 30% and China's tariffs on U.S. products down to 10%. But one of America's ag leaders told lawmakers that trade wars with China will likely have a long-term negative impact on our soybean farmers. C.J. Miller has the story.
With China, for example, we've been working there since 1982 to establish that relationship. And then with the stroke of a pen, we can damage that severely.
And that's Caleb Ragland, president of the American Soybean Association. He's also a corn and soybean producer based out of Kentucky. On Wednesday, Ragland testified before the Senate Finance Committee about the impacts of not just the recent trade war with China, but the one that took place in 2018 during President Trump's first term in office.
Before the first trade war, 1 in 3 rows of soybeans from the U.S. went to China. Last year, it was 1 row out of 4. And we are struggling already, and a trade war adds severe pain to the farmers. We don't need to give our customers an excuse to go to Brazil.
Ragland says that Brazil has unlimited opportunity to overtake the U.S. in soybean production.
Approximately 90 million acres are grown of soybeans year in, year out in the U.S. Brazil right now has the potential to add up to 270 million more acres that is in pasture right now. If we give excuses for our customers to look elsewhere, they will, and they have.
He adds that the trade wars with China have only been pushing the Chinese to purchase more of their soybeans from Brazil.
China has invested significantly in infrastructure in Brazil to help them get their product to market. Right now, we have better infrastructure, but they're gaining on us. And this is very concerning for a soybean farmer and our future.
Soybeans are the largest ag export in the U.S., with 54% of the total U.S. soybean sales going to China in the last marketing year. I'm CJ Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer. Andy Eubank is here as well. Might as well make it a party here on Hoosier Ag this week. The gang's all here. Andy, do we have anything to celebrate here at this party? It's time to turn our attention now to the grain markets.
Eric, right now I could start doing my best former Colts coach Jim Mora imitation, questioning your premise about celebration and party, but no, a rather quiet day and not a great week either in the markets. Final numbers from Friday trade coming up. We'll begin, though, with market analysis, which I grabbed in the middle of the session on Friday from Brian Basting of Advanced Trading. The tone at mid-session on Friday, mostly lower, especially when you look at the grains, and the soybean market has attempted a turnaround from a very difficult sell-off on Thursday. Let's start with corn and wheat. Some pressure in those markets coming from where, Brian?
Thanks for having me, Andy. I think we're seeing a rapid planting pace here across the Midwest, primarily across the Western Belt. I know parts of the Eastern Belt there, including Indiana, with your listeners, has been stop and go. But generally speaking, we're looking at a pace that's above average. For example, on Monday, the USDA released a crop progress report. We're looking for nationwide corn planting progress, Andy, to be around 80%. Now, the five-year average for Monday is 73%. Now, again, some areas may still be a bit behind that, but some areas are definitely running above that. Corn emergence has been good among most areas. It got a good stand in many areas. So I think that the market's looking at, Andy, is twofold. Not only is the crop getting planted on time here and actually a little above normal, but also we're thinking that the acreage for 2025 has the potential, underlying potential, to be a little bit higher. I don't want to be insensitive to our folks down in the southern part of the belt there, where it's just had way too much rain in that region. So that's been a struggle down there. But other areas further north may plant a few more acres than anticipated. So that's a double whammy, as it were, more acres than expected and a good start to the crop. The old crop corn, Andy, continues to be supported at least by strong export business, but it's finding hard footing, trying to get its footing down here. We're still looking at the lowest prices since December for old crop corn. So looking at the wheat market, Andy, we're looking at some results from the Kansas Wheat Tour out west, which were really good. One of the highest yields they'd ever seen from that Kansas Wheat Tour. The rain came just in time here recently for that crop. And so some ideas that that's going to be a very strong crop, albeit it's still 6 weeks away from harvest, a month to 6 weeks. In the Eastern Belt here, the crop ratings continue to be good for a soft red winter wheat crop.
Market commentary from Brian Basting of Advanced Trading, an economist there. And the number is 309-664-2314. On the Hat Friday Farm Market Review, July corn a nickel lower. It ended at 443.5. September 421.5, down 3.5 cents. Dease contracts 435.5, 3.25 lower. A penny and a quarter down on July beans, 10.50 even. August dips to 10.46 1/4, a penny lower, and up 0.25 cent on November, 10.35 1/2. Leading to the downside, Chicago wheat. July goes to 5.25, 7.75 lower. Mostly higher in the meat markets, June live cattle 2.12.22, up $1.05. June lean hogs higher much of the session, but ending 37 cents lower at 132 cents. That's a check on the markets. Much more still to come on the weekend show. I'm Andy Eubank. This is Hoosier Ag This Week.
Ag Bioscience, the number one ag tech podcast globally, is now available on video. Hear the latest from innovators in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture.
In pharmaceutical for decades, you've had facilities purpose-built to be contract manufacturers. The example we like to use a lot is Catalent, which people here in Indiana know well. A facility, I believe it's in Bloomington, makes the GLP-1 for both Novo Nordisk and for Eli Lilly. In the same facility, manufacturing products for competitors done all the time. Doesn't exist in industrial biotech. And today you have these novel startups, all which are really come out of a science background, who all struggle to try and build a $200 or $300 million facility to manufacture a product, and they don't come from a manufacturing background. We believe the technology development and manufacturing are different skill sets. We're choosing to focus on that second one.
Get more episodes online at agrinovisindiana.com. Click on podcasts. Also available wherever you listen to podcasts.
After some spotty moisture to finish this past week, we are going to be fully dry for the weekend. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with a look at the Hoosier Ag Today weekend weather outlook. Once again, we kind of focus on planting in these weekend outlooks this time of year. We did pick up some moisture over the past 2 days in parts of the state, but I think we're going to be fully dry through Saturday and Sunday here. Low pressure and the frontal boundary off to the east. Behind it, we saw much cooler air start to filter in overnight last night, and so we're going to be very pleasant, in my opinion, as we move through the next couple of days, even a bit on the cool side, temperatures slightly below normal, but good sunshine, fast evaporation, and I actually think we'll see some decent breezes, which will aid drying as well. In the next week, Monday is interesting. We are putting together a massive area of low pressure to our west. Actually, a triple-barreled low. You have one low as we get to midnight Sunday night in southeastern parts of Montana. Another one, a second, in northwest Kansas, and a third all the way down near the Red River Valley, Texas, and Oklahoma. This massive system building to our west, and I think it starts to throw some instability towards us right around daybreak on Monday. To be clear, I don't think we see a lot of precipitation on Monday, but I won't rule out hit and miss popcorn style scattered showers. I think then the better threat of rain comes overnight Monday night through Tuesday with rain and thunderstorms that could be strong and heavy, and that continues through Tuesday night, Wednesday. Both of those days we're feeling the exact impact of low pressure as it tracks through. I think right there you have to pencil in half to 2-inch rainfall totals over 100% of Indiana. So that's going to be the big rains that some of you have been looking for and others of you have been dreading. Behind this low, we finally kick it out on Wednesday night. Thursday turns out cloudy to partly sunny. Definitely cool here with colder air coming down out of Michigan and Canada in general. We stay partly sunny for Friday, and I think then we kick off the Memorial Day holiday weekend with good sunshine. We're going to be dry for the Saturday, Sunday, and now Memorial Day Monday period. Next chance of rain is a few scattered showers coming across southern Indiana, likely next Tuesday, the 27th. Now going longer term, finishing out the 2 to 3 week period, I think our next well-organized frontal boundary after the one that hits us next week will likely show up here closer to the 29th into the 30th. But even then, it's kind of separated for a northern feature hitting the Great Lakes in Michigan and a southern feature in the Ohio Valley. So we may not see everybody get moisture in that period either. Honestly, I think you have to start working toward the middle of next week, the rains that we see next Tuesday, Wednesday, covering you for the next several weeks. I'm Ryan Martin.
At Beacon Credit Union, we're not just lenders. We're your trusted partners. We listen, advise, and support your financial success. Whether expanding your farm, upgrading equipment, purchasing real estate, needing operating funds, or refinancing existing debt, we're here for you. Start at beaconcu.org. Insured by ASI, not federally insured, EHO lender.
Welcome back, and thanks for joining us on Hoosier Ag This Week. Let's continue to run down the top stories from this past week in Indiana and U.S. agriculture. I'm Eric Pfeiffer from Hoosier Ag Today. This past Monday, USDA told us that 45% of Indiana corn is in the ground and 41% of Indiana soybeans are planted. And earlier this week, we went on the Hoosier Ag Today crop tour and checked in with our farmers around the state to see what planting progress was really like out in the fields. While those numbers that I mentioned are ahead of the 5-year average pace, this DuBois County farmer is still feeling very much behind.
J.R. Racener here in southwest Indiana. This past week has been much like the previous weeks. We've had on and off rain throughout the week, have not been able to get into the field. We were able to get into the field on Sunday, get a little bit of planting done. We're able to get back in on Monday morning for a couple hours before we got rained out again. Looks like we have maybe a couple more chances of rain this week, so we'll see what happens. Starting to get very far behind in this area and really need some extended dry weather to complete planting.
If you head to the northwest part of the state, they've been missing a lot of those rains. Let's go there now to LaPorte County. That's where we find Denise Scarborough.
We've been extremely dry again and had a very productive week last week finishing up our commercial corn. And today and this week moving forward, we are going to start planting seed corn. A lot of specialty crops are grown in Northwest Indiana with all the irrigation we have. I know that tomato planting also started in our area this week. I hope you all have a great week and stay safe.
Again, I caught up with these farmers earlier this week. Some things might have changed since then, but still gives us a pretty good idea of how things have been moving here throughout the planting season. Let's head to East Central Indiana now. They've struggled to get planting done this spring. Delaware County is where we find Jenna Scott from Cox Farms in Gaston.
This week, we were finally able to get into the fields and start planting some corn. We've seen a lot of people out in the fields in Delaware County getting some field work done and finally started planting, which is nice. We'll be about 20% done by the end of the day today with our crop. And we have a few chances of maybe some rain here the next couple days, but hopefully we can miss it and keep progressing.
And if we head to the opposite side of the state, West Central Indiana, my buddy Ryan Rippey's been looking real good over there. He farms in Tippecanoe, Fountain, and Montgomery counties. And on Tuesday when he checked in with me, he was in real good shape.
I am actually pulling into the last field of corn right now, getting ready to unfold. Should be done planting corn hopefully here in the next hour or so. And we are getting close on beans as well. Probably be done with beans early afternoon. We got dried out about Thursday or so. Things started happening again in this area. There's been a lot of planting progress in the last since the last week and over the weekend. I would estimate probably somewhere around 75, maybe even 80% complete if we don't have a lot of rain. I would imagine by the end of the week, the weekend, probably be about done in this area.
Obviously, you can tell planting progress is a bit varied around the state. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday to your local Hat radio station or to the Hoosier Ag Today podcast to hear our radio segment, the Hoosier Ag Today Crop Tour Tuesday, as we go around the state, hear from these folks, and get an update on where they're at with planting progress. Now, this corn crop that we are trying to get in the ground, it could end up in your ice cream, your cookies, your sodas, but as a sweetener. C.J. Miller has the story.
Well, during the AgriNovus Indiana Quadrant event held on Wednesday, I spoke with Abigail Storms, Senior Vice President of Global Sweeteners and Fibers with Tate and Lyle, as she shared the benefits of allulose. It's a sugar substitute that comes from corn.
Allulose literally has 10% of the calories of sugar. It has no impact on blood glucose levels, and it's non-cariogenic, so it doesn't affect the pH in your mouth that would cause cavities. So it's a perfect solution in terms of when you want to replace sugar, but you don't want to lose the functionality that sugar brings, and you're creating that much healthier solution as a result.
Storm says that corn-based allulose not only tastes more like sugar, but it also has the same texture when it hits your taste buds.
Because the allulose is like sugar, it's building back what we call mouthfeel, so that kind of syrupy feel that you have in your mouth when you drink a full sugar soda compared with how a diet soda experiences.
Courtney Kingery, CEO of the Indiana Corn Marketing Council and Indiana Soybean Alliance, says that allulose is yet another way that corn is showing its value to the world and providing more value back to Indiana's corn producers.
It's another way in which a new product, a new market, a new innovation is continuing to move the file and find new opportunities and new areas that corn grown right here in Indiana and right in the Midwest can be used to help meet consumer trends.
Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm C.J. Miller.
Thank you, C.J. Speaking of AgriNovus Indiana, they've announced that they're launching a search for a new chief executive officer. This follows the resignation of their current CEO, Mitch Frazier, who will depart from the organization effective June 6th. Frazier has served as president and CEO of AgriNovus since June 2020. He'll become president of IBJ Media Corporation on June 16th. That's the parent company of Inside Indiana Business. Frazier also serves as the chair of the Indiana State Fair Commission and was formerly the CEO of Reynolds Farm Equipment from 2016 to 2019. You can read more on this at Hoosier Ag Today. www.usda.com. USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service released the 2024 county yield estimates for corn and soybeans earlier this month. In Indiana, Benton County was atop the chart for both corn and soybean yield at 229.7 bushels per acre for corn and 72 bushels per acre for soybeans. The top five corn counties in Indiana for yield: Benton, Madison, Montgomery, Tippecanoe, and Decatur. For soybeans, Benton, Decatur, Madison, Howard, and Tipton. More to come here on Hoosier Ag This Week from Hoosier Ag Today.
When you call Keystone, you're not just making a connection. You're dialing into service, solutions, and success. We're not just here to meet today's needs. We're building for tomorrow, advancing technology, growing opportunities, and driving innovation with the best team in the Midwest. Keystone is more than a business. It's a commitment to our farmer owners, our rural communities, and the future we're all cultivating together. Call the co-op that leads, serves, grows, and embraces the cooperative advantage.
Season-long sulfur availability can be a reality for your crop when you apply Micro Essentials from Mosaic. Micro Essentials contains two forms of sulfur: sulfate to satisfy early season crop demand, and elemental sulfur to feed your crop throughout grain fill. Micro Essentials is the mighty micro supercharging your yields as much as 3.4 to 6.5 bushels per acre over commodity, MAP, and sulfur blends. Contact your local ag retailer and ask for Micro Essentials from Mosaic for season-long sulfur.
Thank you again for joining us here on Hoosier Ag This Week. I'm C.J. Miller with Hoosier Ag Today, and every year we blow the dust off of the old Hoosier Ag Today record player to bring you that classic, the Singin' Hoosiers from Indiana University School of Music, singing all about the greatest spectacle in racing, the Indianapolis 500. The 109th running coming up next weekend. This weekend, qualifications out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Of course, the race is filled with many traditions, but one of the biggest traditions is when the winner is handed an ice-cold bottle of milk in Victory Circle, thanks to American Dairy Association Indiana. This year, the person responsible for handing off that bottle of milk to the winner is Abby Herr. She's a dairy producer from Noble County, and she's this year's Indy 500 veteran milk person. She also joins us here on Hoosier Ag Today. And Abby, what went through your mind when you found out last year you would be the Indy 500 rookie milk person and then this year's veteran milk person?
All of this has been such a surreal moment. I mean, the fact that, you know, we are chosen by other dairy farmers to represent the 700 dairy farm families across the state of Indiana to be on the world stage out there in Victory Circle to hand the milk. Last year as a rookie, it was so beautiful and chaotic behind Victory Circle. I'm so honored to be able to represent, you know, our family farm. We're the fourth generation raising the fifth generation. And the fact that this is only the second time there's been two women to hand out the milk in Victory Circle, I think that's truly exciting. And I'm hoping that inspires my daughters to maybe want to take the reins one day and be selected.
Chatting with Abby Herr, a dairy producer from Noble County, who is this year's Indy 500 veteran milk person here on Hoosier Ag Today. You were the rookie milk person last year. Alex Neuenschwander, he was the veteran milk person last year. So he got to hand off that ice-cold bottle of milk to Joseph Newgarden, who won for the second straight year. So let's say Joseph Newgarden should win his third straight Indianapolis 500. It's never been done before. No driver has ever won three times back to back to back. Should Newgarden cross that yard of bricks first and be the winner for the third straight year, history would certainly be made at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And how fascinating would it be to be a part of that history if Joseph Newgarden is the winner on May 25th?
Oh my gosh, that would be so exciting. I mean, obviously, I'm going to be happy for whoever makes it to Victory Circle. I mean, I feel like just to be a part of that tradition, and then also you're going to go down in history, you know, as a driver, whether it's Joseph Newgarden or somebody else. But I feel like just to be a part of that tradition, it's just going to be so exciting all around.
I always ask this question of whomever is in this role, and I know
there has to be some impartiality, but I'm going to ask this question anyway. I do every single year. Is there any one of those 33 drivers that you happen to be rooting for to take the checkered flag on May 25th?
I feel like that's kind of like asking me if I have a favorite cow. I can't tell you who my favorite cow is. I love all of them. So I feel the same way about the drivers. You know, I am excited for all of them. I mean, they're a lot like dairy farmers. They're putting in a lot of hard work, a lot of dedication, and it takes a lot of determination. And, you know, to see that pay off, whoever it may be, is going to be such a fulfilling thing. So, like I said, I'm super excited. I just cannot wait.
No better way to advertise the dairy industry, not just in Indiana, but across the entire U.S., Abby.
Yeah. I mean, it is, you know, we're representing the dairy farm families across the state of Indiana, but like it's even bigger than that. You know, milk is out on the world stage. And so we're representing dairy farmers across the world. And that's truly a humbling experience to think I'm just a fourth generation raising the fifth generation dairy farmer from Kendallville that now is going to be out on the world stage representing dairy in victory circles.
And Abby, the website for American Dairy Association Indiana, winnersdrinkmilk.com. And as the winning driver is celebrating with milk in victory circle, we ask everyone who's watching on TV, because the blackout is lifted in central Indiana this year, to have their own milk toast at the same time.
You know what? You took the words right out of my mouth. I mean, obviously, winners drink milk, and we do want, you know, everybody to go out on race day, grab a gallon of milk so you can toast with the winning driver, because winners do drink milk, and go take advantage of all those delicious dairy products out there.
Once again, Abby Herr, dairy producer from Noble County, Kendallville, Indiana, this year's Indy 500 veteran milk person presented by American Dairy Association Indiana. Once again, the 109th running of the Indianapolis 500, Sunday, May 25th, the greatest spectacle in racing. Abby, thank you so much for joining us here on Hoosier Ag today. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you so much. You have a wonderful day.
And with that, it's time to wave the checkered flag on this week's edition of Hoosier Ag This Week. Download the podcast version at HoosierAgToday.com. And on behalf of our award-winning news team of Eric Pfeiffer, Andy Eubank, and Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin, I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's number one farm network.